on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of YoteCast, and I hope you are ready for what is to come here in the next few weeks. It is getting busy, busy, busy. And that is our conversation today with David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. It talks about being busy. Over the next couple of weeks, South Dakota has some incredible home events and some of that fun stuff, or even in nearby Sioux Falls, wherever it may be. There are some really, really fun contests coming up here in the South Dakota area, Vermilion, Sioux Falls, wherever it may be. And should be a lot of fun. So buckle your seatbelts, because it is getting busy during this whole crossover season. But that also means it's a lot of fun. If you haven't already, go to goyotes.com/tickets and look up all the events that you could buy tickets to. And let's see you about every day next week. It will be a lot of fun. Coming up in the show today, we will take a look at the Western Illinois Leathernecks with R.J. Larson. We'll preview women's basketball with head coach Don Plitzelwhite as they get set to tip off their season. And we start this week with the athletic director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster.
David, I know things are gearing up for a busy, busy time as we get into crossover season. As much as we talk about crossover season coming up, I don't know if we're ever really prepared for basketball to start with volleyball and football and everything else going on. Do you feel prepared for it?
No. Well, you do and you don't. Until you see it on the calendar, you know it's coming. But until you're like the week of or the week prior, then as you start to look at putting all the pieces in place and see how everything's starting to fall together, and then you realize, well, all right, it's go time. I mean, the things that we've been doing all fall prepare us to be able to handle things like this. But I tell you what, this next week and a half or so stretch is really going to tax our staff.
Yeah, no doubt. We're going to get into all that. Let's talk soccer, though, because this past weekend, they knew that they controlled their path to a Summit League tournament. They had to get a tie or a victory in one of their final two matches of the season, and they go to the top team in the league in Denver and play to a tie on Friday. I know they finished with a loss at Omaha on Sunday, but just a huge, huge victory in their mind to go tie Denver and qualify for the Summit League tournament after everything that this program has continued to build and has done. 10 wins for the first time at the Division I level. Mm-hmm. Now an opportunity to play for a Summit League championship. I know that program feels really good about where it's at.
They were right where they want to be in being able to control your own destiny. Now, a couple games prior, you'd like to know that you are assured a spot, but, you know, to have that opportunity to play for, you know, a chance to be in the tournament is huge, and they certainly did that. And it's been, you're right, a 10-win season. We've had two or three 9-win seasons over the Division I era, but this is the first 10-win. So you'd like to get to a point in time where a 10-win season is the norm, not the, you know, the exception. But I look at the top four in the league, and, you know, I know we have to go right back and play Denver all over again. But between that and then I think really anybody can beat anybody this go-round. And it's going to take that type of effort that we showed on last week against Denver, because, you know, you play 110 minutes at altitude to a tie, and then next morning you get on a plane and you head to Omaha to play the following day. And so, you know, you had some weary legs, and I kind of really saw that in that second half. I mean, it's a lot of soccer with a lot of travel in between and a lot of really hard competitive soccer. So they might have run out a little bit of steam, but, you know, right there at the end, there's a flurry at the end that you're just hoping. I mean, because we've done it several times this year where you score with a minute to go. That's how we beat South Dakota State and some others. So needless to say, overall, a really, really impressive soccer season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And hopefully they can have a lot of success in the Summit League tournament and continue their season for a little bit. Summit League Cross Country is preparing for the Midwest Regionals in Iowa City. They're coming off of the Summit League Championships Cross Country is this past weekend. It was a little bit tough for the programs. I think the women finished third and the men finished fourth at the Summit League Cross Country Championships in Tulsa. Not where they hoped to be, but sometimes that's just the way the cards fall.
It does. You know, we had some injuries really start to bubble up the last week or two, where we ended up keeping some of the athletes out of the competition. on the men's side, kind of our lead, who's been like a 5 or 6 time, you know, athlete of the week, was Murga, and he turned his ankle the week of and couldn't run. And some other challenges on the women's side. So it's, yeah, it's not where we wanted to finish, but all things considered, I think you have an opportunity to heal up a little bit for the regionals and see what we can do there.
Yep, and you know, some of these fall sports are starting to wrap up. Some of these that have a little bit split seasons, some of them do as well. But tennis, a sport that's just wrapping up their schedule.
Right, and you know, we were at the Northern Illinois this past weekend. We got a victory in doubles, and really it was a good, I think, overall experience and a really good showing this fall for the young ladies. And I don't know, I look as you turn around and you have the opportunity to train, you know, for the next 2 to 2.5 months. Until the season, the championship side of the season starts in the spring. But definitely we lead into this little bit of the kind of the break in between the two with a lot of momentum. And I'm kind of thinking a lot of confidence with the ladies.
Well, speaking of ladies with confidence, women's golf wrapped up their fall portion of the season this week and did so on a high note out in North Carolina.
They did. And it ended up finishing second, the highest, you know, finish we've had in a tournament this fall, and really kind of came on strong here at the end. Had 3 really good rounds to finish, you know, several shots back of the leader. But anyway, and again, that's a really nice feeling to head into the fall when you have all the ladies playing really good golf at the end. And so now you could take that kind of mix that around at least a little bit so you can go utilize kind of what you learned over the fall, which was a successful fall, and then springboard that into the spring, which is a championship portion of the season, to really make a go at a Summit League title.
Yeah, of course, men's and women's golf will now be off until in the call it winter, but they call it a spring season. Right?
You know, I think the ladies' first tournament is in. I'm not sure where the men are. I know the women are in like San Marcos, Texas, February 7th, and so I'm sure there's some people that would volunteer to go on that trip and carry. I'd carry a bag for them if I can, you know, get out of the.
I'm raising my hand.
Raising your hand,
we're put me on that.
And just
trip.
Envision everybody. Envision we're raising both hands to go on that
we'll
trip.
We'll be the caddies for the team and see if we can help them. But they obviously their season continues in the spring. Portion of the season. How about men's basketball? I know we're not quite to the regular season opener. That is coming, but the men, an opportunity to play an exhibition game this week, and really it's a dress rehearsal for them and a chance for fans, if they want, to come get a preview of the product.
Yeah, I know. It's odd to think that basketball's starting up. I mean, we're still playing volleyball and football and soccer, and everything is still, you know, for the most part going. This is that crossover that we all kind of love so much. But no, really excited. I mean, there's definitely a lot of new talent on the team that I know the coaches and the other players are excited about. We've got some injuries that, you know, that we're still battling through a little bit, that not 100% sure, and maybe it's a, you know, decision midweek on who plays and who doesn't play. But anyway, it's that really that kickoff to the season to really kind of see where they're at and a chance to kind of preview the team. So it'll be we're at this point in time, so it's good. I don't care who you play. Let's just roll the ball out and go.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of that, football. Roll the ball out and go, because it's go time. Coming off an open week, football has an opportunity here over the next 3 weeks to put itself in a position to still attain their goals that they set forth. And it starts with a trip to Western Illinois, a game that this team hoping they're, you know, a little healed up after their trip to, or after their bye week, get healed up a little bit going down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I look at where the bye week happened, and at the beginning of the season, you're thinking to yourself, geez, do we have to wait all the way till then to get a bye week? But for us, it came at a great time, because we do have some guys that are still banged up, and we'll see what, you know, how many of them get a chance to dress on Saturday, but it, for us, it does come a bye week. Now, Western's a good team. They're going to put points on the board. They really are. I mean, they just beat Illinois State, and, you know, they've been able to score points. They don't have much of a defense either, so you know, which leads into our strengths, but we're going to have to play really, really well to win the game on the road out there at Western. But winning that one does keep us with an inside track onto the playoffs. But that's so far down the road at this point, you know, and I know that's what Bob tells the guys is, look, you can't think about playoffs right now. We got one goal and one goal only, and that's to beat Western Illinois. Once we do that, then we'll go to the next one, then we'll go to the next one. So for us fans, you're looking at, hey, we probably need to win 2 or 3 to make the playoffs. But for the guys, they're like, we have one game, and that's all. That's the most important thing. So healing up and getting ready for Western.
Well, you know, while football's on the road at Western Illinois, there's actually football Saturday inside the Dakota Dome And that's part of the All Nations leagues. They have a couple of games.
Yeah, you know, it's, and we did this. I can't, time is gets fuzzy. I don't know if it was, maybe it was 2 years ago that we had the All Nations Championship. It was just one game. And now we have two games. They have enough for basically two divisions. And so on Saturday at 1 o'clock and then again 4 o'clock, All Nations Championship here in the Dome. So again, it gives you a chance to see some football. Mm-hmm. And we know, of course, Vermillion plays here Friday, you know, at the end of the week at Friday night, yep. And they're in their round of playoffs, and so there's no shortage of football to come see in Vermillion.
Yeah, no doubt, and that really kicks off a busy stretch with the Dome and the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, and just really USD staff in general as you get into next week, and you start with basketball. The official season opener for women will be at home on Tuesday night against the University of Oklahoma. What an opportunity for them to schedule a program like Oklahoma to come in for the season opener.
Yeah, it's yeah, you be careful what you wish for, right? I know Dawn has said that too. When we look at what their schedule looks like, it's a really, really tough non-conference schedule. But you're right. So next Tuesday, it really, you know, next week begins in earnest on Tuesday, and with the women playing Oklahoma, it's going to be a big game. It's you get a chance to have a Big 12 team come into Vermillion, and it's one of those that you've got to make sure you were there to watch that game. And then, you know, I look at the next week between events on Thursday. We got Lunch with the U, the men's basketball game versus Air Force Academy. We have women's volleyball here in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center at 6. All the while, we have the first, you know, the first games of the state high school football championships in the Dome, and that happens from 10 o'clock, 1, wait, 10 o'clock? Was it 1 o'clock and 7:30? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it, right?
Yep,
so
that's it.
I look at all those things and the things that we're somewhat responsible for and we'll have to have people at between men's basketball, volleyball, and three high school games, as well as Lunch with the U. We're going to get tested on Thursday. We roll into Friday, and you get high school football again at 10, 2 o'clock, and 7:30, as well as the women's basketball team that night playing up at the Pentagon against South Carolina. And then, again, you roll right back into the weekend, too, where you've got USD versus SDSU in the showdown series. And then you got the high school 3A title at 7:30. And don't forget, on Sunday, we have women's volleyball at 3 o'clock against Omaha. So, I don't know. I'd like to say that you should be working some of those games for us, but you're probably working most of them, calling the game. So if you see, I'd say tell everybody, if you see our staff kind of looking kind of weary-eyed, and if anybody starts to wobble, take their lead, and now you're taking their spot, because we're going to need some help on those days.
You know, what's crazy is this doesn't impact home events, but even for fans looking ahead, you talked about that entire week next week. Well, that Sunday, while volleyball's going on at home, men's basketball's playing at Drake, and then that Monday, women's basketball's at Drake. So we are on a stretch here. And that's part of just getting basketball, you know, the fall sports, some of these wrapped up with the high school football championships and some of that, and getting basketball season underway. It's something that we deal with, and I guess you said earlier, be careful what you wish for. Well, some of this is building a Sanford Coyote Sports Center helps make all this crossover a reality.
You know, it does. Dang it.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing, right? Because that's not something we ever could have done before. And right. So now to be able to do that and have the Dome renovated to where it is, to be able to handle all of, especially all the football games that are going to be in there, with the upgrades to the Dome that kind of complement what we have in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, allows us to really to be able to run two games at once, yeah. Which is not easy. I mean, and think about it from a production standpoint, what you see on the video boards, and there's going to be some limitations there, but because trying to run two things at the exact same time takes dedication, it takes a staff, it takes teamwork, and takes understanding the equipment, which when I go in that production room, I look at that thing and I just walk out. It's a mess, but I have no idea what anything is, right? And so the first thing, everything in there kind of has its place. And as long as those our production staff understands where everything is, I'll just keep bringing you Dome Dogs and Pepsis.
You know, it'll be an awful busy week. And I think, you know, we talk about this often throughout the year, but it's a time where I really hope fans appreciate the staff kind of on the back end of a lot of things, because they're constantly cleaning out the areas to get them ready for the next game and restocking this or that. And there's a lot of people involved in pulling off a week like this.
You know, and it's not just, you know, I think about the coaches and the teams, but think about our trainers who have to deal with all the competition, the injuries that happen with all this, or our sports information staff who has to basically stat and score and update, write pregame notes and press releases and update the website on all this stuff, our marketing staff, our facility staff, the development staff, the ticketing staff. I'm probably missing somebody in there, but this is one of those days where I know we're probably not supposed to give people hugs, but just make sure you fist bump everybody or elbow everybody, whatever it is, because they're going to need a little bit of support and acknowledgement of what goes through the next week and a half. But again, it's what we signed up for, and these are the months we're going to thrive on this. And as soon as that first that ball gets tipped, that first thing that happens, you're just in your mode of getting stuff done.
Well, it'll be busy, but this is what we sign up for in college athletics. Last thing for you, David, it's been big news the last couple of weeks in conference realignment, and I know a lot of fans are thinking about this right now, especially now as we're starting to see Conference USA. It looked like it might fall apart, but now they're reaching out to places like Sam Houston State and Jacksonville State and the FCS. Where are you at with conference realignment talk? How much do you focus on what is going on right now in those other parts of the country and those other leagues, and how that may or may not trickle down and continue impacting FCS?
Yeah, you know, you continually and constantly evaluate the landscape and kind of what's going on. There's, you know, what is talked about today may or may not happen tomorrow, but maybe it happens on the third day. And so I think we're in a really good position right now, both in the Summit League and the Missouri Valley Football Conference. But again, depending on what happens when those dominoes start to fall, you really have to evaluate your own situation. Where are we, and what's the best spot for us? The challenge is right now is that it keeps changing on a weekly basis as you see some of this movement. And you know, I think both leagues are really, really strong where they're at. But at the same time, you also have to make sure that institutionally you align with all your other conference members. And so you constantly have to be able to evaluate that. You know, until we get to the NCAA convention, understand what the new constitution of the NCAA is going to look like, some of these movements, I think, are actually premature. But they're the linchpin that got pulled was teams go, you know, you got Oklahoma and Texas leave the Big 12, and then they bring in four. And now you've just seen this cascading of events where some of this almost feels like it's musical chairs and when does it stop? But you just want to make sure that you put yourself in the best position when it does stop, that you're sitting around the others, you know, the other people sitting around the chairs with you are the people that you want to be with. So we'll constantly keep everything open as far as understanding where we're at and where's the best spot for us. But right now we're not having active conversations or discussions with anybody right now. And I'd say you take it day by day or week by week, but frankly, that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, well, we'll keep an eye on all of it, obviously, as we continue forward. And right now, we'll enjoy right where we're at because we got a busy week coming up that we just talked about. So enjoy it, enjoy the weekend, and I know next week we'll talk more about this busy, busy stretch, but appreciate your time very much.
All right, thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. In sports, one team wins and one loses, but when it comes to bioethanol, we all win. Powered by Refining Hudson is proud to be a local producer of environmentally friendly bioethanol and help create a competitive corn market for the area producers. This week, South Dakota hits the road for Western Illinois, and I had a chance to catch up with R.J. Larson, the radio play-by-play voice of the Leathernecks, to talk about the season that Western Illinois is currently having. RJ, you continue through the football season with Western Illinois, and boy, the Leathernecks, if they taught you one thing, that they are never out of a football game. They'll play all four quarters. I think it's been impressive to watch how this team has just stayed with the football game and the game plan, and they keep battling back, and they've played a lot of close games this year.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And one thing that Coach Elliott always says, that we never feel we're out of a football game. This team, we're going to go hard every single 60 minutes, no matter what the score is. And you're absolutely right. You know, we're never really out of a football game this year. We've had some tremendous comebacks. The Eastern Washington game, down 20-0 early on, to Southern Illinois. And just this past week, we were in a couple of really tough spots against Illinois State, down 21-6 early in the second quarter, 28-13 about midway through the third quarter. And a lot of teams in our record probably wouldn't come back in those situations, but we just keep grinding, gritting, and we play hard every single minute. And definitely proud to see the resilience by this team every single game, no matter what the score is.
I think what's fascinating about Western Illinois, it's really hard to get the pulse of this team. They have played a tight one against teams like Indiana State, Youngstown State, didn't play well against South Dakota State or North Dakota. They've battled some of the best teams in the country like Southern Illinois and Eastern Washington. It's really kind of hard to gauge what this team really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we have had a couple of tough losses on the road at Indiana State, at North Dakota, were two tough games for us. But the thing about us playing at Hanson Field is that's where we obviously play our best. We feel we have one of the best home field advantages in the conference. And every team that's come here, it's been a proven battle so far. Eastern Washington, Southern Illinois, South Dakota State, and this past week against Illinois State. We thought we played four really good football games. We had chances to win all those games. We just had a couple mistakes here and there that unfortunately prevented that. But just this past week against the Redbirds, we were able to pull it out, thankfully. And that was a really important win for us. You know, being 1-7 entering that game, we were in a pretty tough spot. And 104th meeting all time between us and Illinois State. They had won 10 of the past 11, three straight. And felt really good for sure to pull out that win.
RJ, look at just kind of what the transfer portal has done to college football, and it's made some things very challenging, but Connor Sampson has been around Western Illinois. He might be the most experienced quarterback with his particular team in the entire FCS, and he's playing at a very high level. What has made Connor Sampson so effective?
Well, Coach Elliott talks about just his work ethic is the biggest thing. Connor is that type of guy that he's going to be one of the first people at practice. He's going to be one of the first people at meetings. He's always asking questions in film. And he's not afraid to admit his mistake. When they're watching film, he's the first one to point out his mistakes that he's going to get corrected. And really the thing that's really proud to me about him is he's really progressed from the 2019 season until now to being a first-year starter back in 2019, having some struggles to really, in my eyes right now, one of the best quarterbacks in all of the FCS. He's really improved his deep pass game. He's made a lot smarter decisions. His decision-making is drastically improved, and that's really been a big thing for him, I think, to improve his overall game. And he just knows what to do in certain situations. It seems like he knows when he needs to go out of the pocket. He seems to know when he needs to get rid of the ball, where he needs to throw the ball to. He just seems like he knows his offense so much better compared to 2019, and that's been really the big difference for him, I think.
It's a fascinating offense in that they get so many involved in the passing game. They get their wide receivers involved in the rushing game. I mean, this offense feels like an offense that'll throw just about everything at you.
Absolutely. Ludovic Chocat, our main receiving back, he's done a terrific job in screen passes. And Tony Tate at the beginning of the season said we have one of the best receiving corps in the country. I completely agree from there. Him, Dennis Houston, Dallas Santos, they're a great receiving corps. And Daniel Bender has been a really good surprise too as well. We really have, in my eyes, four very good receivers that I'm sure a lot of teams in this conference would love to have just one of them. And we do a really good job involving all four of them all throughout the weeks. We got, you know, different styles of plays for each of them. And one thing we would like to try to, you know, get more of the deep balls and intermediate passing game going. I think we did a lot better job of that last week. But, you know, we're an offense that is a pass-first offense that I'm sure you've seen through our numbers. We haven't run the ball as effectively as we'd like to. We definitely improved in that area last week. But, yeah, for sure our passing game has been tremendous to watch this season.
Let's talk about the defense. They've had a tough time many of the games this season. They're giving up a lot of yards. They're giving up a lot of points. What have they continued to work on to try to finish the season on a high note?
Yeah, well, Coach Elliott talks about, you know, he feels that we still have a very good defense. The numbers, you know, aren't in our favor right now, but, you know, there are some things that, you know, we can work on. And the biggest thing he always says is tackling. You know, being able to tackle for four quarters has been an issue for us. Early on in the season, the big play was really big, especially against Eastern Washington. They were getting 40, 50, 60-yard plays on us. That was a really big issue in that game. I thought we've really cleaned up the big play since that game. We've done a better job there. I would say the biggest thing that we've really improved on last week was our tackling and stopping the run. Against North Dakota, Otis Weah had his way with us. He was able to just run right into our defense. We were not able to stop him. But against Cole Mueller, he had a good first half against us, but the second half I thought really shut him down. We forced Jefferson to pass, and that was really a big difference from the first to the second half, and that was one of my keys heading into that game. We had to stop their running game, force him to throw. We did that in the second half, and a big reason where our defense has given up a lot of points in some games has been, in fact, unfortunately, they've been put in some really tough spots. There have been some moments where our offense hasn't been able to move the ball as effectively as we should be able to. They put them in some really bad positions on the field. Against South Dakota State, I think South Dakota State had starting field position in our territory every single drive of the second half. It was a pretty similar spot in North Dakota just because they were getting driven on. They were making some really good red zone stats, but again, the offense just couldn't move the football very effectively. So they've definitely been put in some tough spots, but they've continued to battle. And, you know, the biggest thing is forcing turnovers for us. That's really been when our defense has done that. That's been where we've been most successful. And we're hoping we can do that and get a couple of big turnovers this week, too, against you guys.
Two games remain in the season with South Dakota and Northern Iowa. There's a bye week in between Western Illinois, an opportunity to play spoiler the last couple of weeks of the season. What do you need to see out of this group to finish strong and to continue winning like they did against Illinois State?
Well, obviously, you know, we're not really focused on the record right now in my eyes. We're just, Coach Elliott says, you know, Valley football, it's one week at a time. You don't pay attention to records, stats, or anything like that. The best team's going to win on Saturday. And I think that's what they're focused on the most is just being able to be the best team on Saturday because they know if they can do that, they can win this football game for sure. You guys have been a very good offense this year for sure. You got a very young offense, but they've proven to be one of the best in the Missouri Valley. I think your defense has taken a huge drastic step up from what we saw in 2019 for them. And Coach Nielsen's done a really terrific job of recruiting some really young players. And I think South Dakota has really revamped from where they were in 2019, and you guys are back to the level of expectation that you were at from a couple of years ago, and really impressed with you guys for sure with how you, I think, have been a really big surprise to being kind of a lower pick in the preseason polls to now looking like you're a for sure lock in the FCS playoffs. And obviously, yep, we want to play spoiler, but, you know, like I said, best team's going on Saturday, and, you know, we just got to focus on what we need to do in order to make sure that happens.
RJ, last thing for you. We get typically, I think our fans travel fairly well to Macomb, so maybe they've scoped out the area. But for those who may be new to traveling to Macomb, where's a good place to, whether it's on Friday night or for dinner or even Saturday before the game, where are the best places in Macomb to grab some food?
Well, if you're going to go out to dinner, definitely got to recommend Chicks on the Square. If you go there, got to get the chicken lips. Those are a household favorite in Macomb. Lip fries are a very good thing. Chubby's has got really good food. If you're looking for pizza, Vitali's, Jill Sosmo's, Larry A's are your spots to go. Chinese food. You got Yummy Chen's and Sesame Garden, two very good spots. If you're looking for more upscale type food, there's Magnolia's right downtown on the square. They've got some of the best steaks in town. Really good burgers at Sports Corner, a local joint where a lot of people go to watch the football game. In terms of Saturday morning, if you're looking for a good breakfast place, there's a kind of a Greek bistro called Z's. I believe it's called Z's Bistro Brunch and Lunch Place, Hometown Cafe, which is right across the street from one of the main hotels in town. It's got very good breakfast. And also local grocery store, Hy-Vee's, also got some very good breakfast in the mornings as well. So I would say those would have to be my recommendations in terms of food. I've gone to college here for the past 5 years, so definitely know all the good spots and definitely excited to see some fans from you guys as well. Definitely always good to mingle with the opposing crowd as well. And we'll have a good tailgate at a Q lot right outside the stadium for anyone that wants to come out and cook some good burgers and brats as well.
No doubt. We're looking forward to it. RJ, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. And we'll see you on Saturday.
Absolutely, John. Thank you very much.
That's RJ Larson, the radio play-by-play voice of the Western Illinois Leathernecks. Good stuff from him. It's obviously been an exciting team, Western Illinois. And I'm thinking this is going to be a lot of fun, this game between South Dakota and Western Illinois. Women's basketball season tips off in less than a week. Next Tuesday against the University of Oklahoma, and then they'll play in Sioux Falls on Friday against the number one team of the country in South Carolina. They've got some incredible games to start the season. Obviously, some of them are home, some of them are not. But I had a chance to catch up this week with Don Plitzelwhite, the head women's basketball coach, who has just continued to build a juggernaut at the University of South Dakota. And we previewed what the Coyotes will look like this season. Don, I don't know about you, but I know for me and for other people, it kind of feels like basketball season creeps up on us a little bit and just kind of springs into action. It's crazy to think that we're here. It's time for the season openers. They're coming fast, and before you know it, you'll be going crazy with preparation following a game and trying to continue to get better. But it just seems like the basketball season always creeps up on us a little bit.
Well, the NCAA gives us 30 practices, and we get to start those 42 days before our season starts. So I think our day this year is right around September 28th. We have from September 28th until November 9th to get ready. And it feels like those 42 days should last a lot longer than they actually do, because now we're at, you know, the beginning of November, and you're thinking, we've got three practices or four practices or whatever the official number is left. That's it. Then we have to play against someone else. The players are really excited. We as coaches have tried to change how we do things this year for a couple of different reasons. Most importantly, because our non-conference schedule is what it is, and we have to be more prepared than we've ever been prepared. But at the same time, we also have to be more fundamental than we've ever been. So that's an interesting combination. So it's fun. It's here. I just hope that we get some good fan bases out, because we play some great teams. So come and watch.
You know, isn't it fun? I know that of many coaches who appreciate fans, you are definitely one of them. And I know last year we were fortunate. We had fans in the stands. It was a little bit different, but you've got to be thrilled to have a restriction free season, we hope, for the duration of the season, and just to be able to welcome those fans back into the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, wherever your team plays.
You're exactly right, John, and it doesn't get any better than we have an opportunity to open up our season at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center against one of the top 30 teams in the country, a team that has been to three Final Fours, or a program that's been to three Final Fours, a program that's won 11 Big 12 championships. It doesn't get any better than this. So don't wait. I've been telling people around Vermillion, you need to be there on Tuesday night. I've been telling people around the state. I've been telling people on radio stations, they need to be there Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. You won't want to miss this.
Coach, let's take a look at your team. We'll start with the guards. Obviously, when you look around the guards, names like Chloe Lamb and Maddie Kroll and Liv Korngable really jump out. But when you look at this group, what have you seen out of the growth of this group and some of these players who are new into the program?
Well, I think we have some really special young ladies who haven't necessarily had their opportunities a whole lot yet, and I really believe their opportunities are coming. So you talk about Reagan Sankey, who is a perimeter kid for us, perimeter, but can also play in the post a little bit as well. You have Reagan Sankey. You really have Macy Giebert, two young ladies who haven't played significantly in moments yet. But I think, again, this is their opportunity. This is their time to do some of those things. I think that's exciting. From a new kid standpoint on the perimeter, Grace Larkins is a young lady that I think our fans are going to have an opportunity to see very early on in her career. Cassidy Carson and Carly Duffany, both two young ladies who have really good size and length. And once they figure it out, man, they're going to be tough matchups for a lot of teams. So, you know, I think we've seen Morgan Hansen. We've seen Kaya Watson on the perimeter a little bit. We're going to continue to see them, although Morgan's going to be out for a little while now with an injury. So we're not going to see her on Tuesday, but we'll see her back in the lineup in hopefully the not-too-distant future.
Well, you talk about now on the inside, obviously the centerpiece is Hannah Shervin. She's been incredible since she transferred from New Mexico to South Dakota and has really made an impact and obviously grown her name around Coyote Nation. But there are others there. Natalie Mazurek, we saw a little bit of last year, and Aspen Williston, the transfer from Oklahoma. You've got others kind of mixed in there a little bit. Allison Peplowski, what do you see out of this group?
Well, I think this group has really grown significantly as well. Hannah continues to improve. You know, Hannah's understanding of the game is absolutely outstanding. You know, she's on the sidelines. Her team isn't in, or her group isn't at the time, and she's telling the team out there, watch for a backdoor. And then you have young ladies, Natalie Mazurek, saw some important minutes for us last year, developing the confidence now that's really important. Allison Popolski played great in the Summit League tournament for us. I think also Janaya Yagovsky is a young lady who maybe we can shift more into that back to the basket, or at least defend that position and then play kind of more of a perimeter game for us. She's someone who I kind of laugh because we're prepping for a lot of different teams, a lot of different styles. And we ran a base or a sideline out of bounds play the other day, and there's the shooter was on top, and she said the ball's on the other side of the floor. She says, "Watch the flare screen." And I thought, my goodness, these kids are smart. We're trying to trick them. We haven't even shown you this clip on film. We haven't talked about it, but she understands the game at such a high level. She knows, hey, this is something that's probably going to happen next. You know, Aspen Willison is a young lady with great size, great length as well. And so I think we have more depth in that position, but we also have an opportunity at times. We play Kaya defended, you know, Kaya defended some inside kids. So Kaya's kind of all over the place a little bit with how she plays, which is a good thing for us. She can play multiple positions.
Don, earlier you said with a couple of those, couple of your kids there, that once they get it, they're going to play a lot. What's the biggest challenge for some of these athletes as they come into either your program or just Division I basketball in general that they have to adapt to quickly coming out of high school?
There are a lot of things with that, John, but I think the biggest thing is that we're going to throw a lot of stuff at them. You know, this is how we close out. This is how we convert defensively. This is how we want to finish plays. This is how we want to guard this screen. This is how we want to get through that screen. You have to be aware of personnel, you know, and those are just a few of the little things defensively. That's just one end of it. But then ultimately we're going to practice it enough that it has to become something they're not thinking about. Oh, we make an adjustment. Now we're going to guard ball screens a little bit differently. They have the ability to do that. I think what's really challenging, and again, offensively is a lot more challenging than the defensive end of things, but there's so much that's being thrown at them so quickly that they have to get to the point where they can play without thinking. And that's challenging to do right away. And so what we have to do as coaches is give them that information, drill that information, and then when we get into games, figure out what they're going to do. Madison McKeever's a great example. She was going to run and double the ball or try to get some steals, and we finally told our team probably in year three or four, we know she's going to gamble. The rest of you guys, cover up for her. She's going to get a lot of steals, and we're going to celebrate those. And when she doesn't get steals and we give something up, the rest of you guys have to cover up for it. You know, so players do, you know, they have to be able to trust their instincts, and so we want them to play within our system, but we also don't want to take their instincts away.
You mentioned Morgan Hansen will be out for the start of the season. Outside of her, how's the health of your team been throughout these practices leading up to the opener?
Yeah, knock on wood, it's been decent. You know, Alexi Hempy will be out this season. I know that's not something that's new with injury that she sustained at the end of last year, a knee injury. You know, but at this point in time, you know, as of today, it appears as though we're in good shape. But we've got to continue, you know, to push the envelope and get better, but also do the best we can of making sure that we're as physically healthy and as ready as possible, because that's the bottom line. We have to be as healthy as we can be.
Let's talk about your schedule. You know, you love to set up these schedules so that you have those cupcakes early and roll through it. So you start with Oklahoma,
right,
and then South Carolina. And then, oh, by the way, Drake, who's one of the best teams in the Missouri Valley Conference. Your team has to hit the ground just absolutely sprinting into the season with this. What a challenging but fun schedule for your team to open up with.
It certainly is, John, and you talked about the first three, and then you fast forward into the Thanksgiving time, and now you're playing Northwestern, who plays a very different zone than anything that we have seen. Then you turn around, you play Texas A&M, who won the SEC regular season championship last year, and then you have the University of Pittsburgh. So, you know, it's just that, and that's just November. When you go into December, it continues. It's just, it's something that I was thinking about this today. When I was coaching at the University of Wisconsin, which was back in the late 90s, that was a little while ago, we played a schedule just a few blue moons ago. But that schedule that we played was a very daunting, very heavy hitter schedule. That was probably the second toughest schedule that I've ever faced as a coach, because back in that era, you didn't play 29, you know, regular season games. So you had more prep time in between your non-conference games. Now, you know, at 29 regular season games, and with your non-conference, you know, accounting for almost half of those, it is just nonstop. And so this is by far the most daunting, just the heavy load of a schedule that we faced here at the University of South Dakota, but also the toughest one that I certainly as a coach have faced as well. And so it's fun. You know, it's a great challenge for us. We're going to learn from it. There are going to be great growth opportunities. But it's also really fun to be able to play against the best that's out there.
Don, what do you think your team needs to learn in these first few games to really get the season to click early on, obviously, with this challenging schedule?
Well, I think that's a great question, John. I think the interesting thing is that 2 years ago, when we had an ability to have a summer and have a preseason as normal as possible, when we started the year, and that was the year we ended up going 30-2, so we had a really good team, we were much farther ahead offensively than we were defensively. You know, we had a chance to win some games. We came from behind, but we outscored teams. We didn't do a really good job defensively until probably the second weekend into our conference slate. Then we got to be pretty good. This year's team, we believe, is much better. And then last year didn't really count because we didn't really have it in the respect that we didn't have a chance to really prepare the way we needed to prepare. So that was really hard to evaluate where we were. And we were replacing, you know, we're replacing so many kids, four of our top six kids, and we didn't have a normal preseason. We didn't have a summer. We had kids out with quarantine, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, you go play the number one and the number 18 team in the country, go. Well, we don't even know what we're doing yet. So how are we supposed to do that and be as successful as we want to be? So last year was a really abnormal situation. This year, when you look at this year's team, I believe at this point in time, this year's team is probably farther ahead defensively than any team we've had here at the University of South Dakota. But now we can't just rely on being good on that end of the ball. We have to be good on both ends. And I think that's something when you play really, really hard defensively and you really get after it, then on the other end, offensively, we want to space, move, screen, but, oh, get the ball in your hands and relax. And so there's a lot of moving pieces with it, and putting that all together and building the consistency is going to not only be a physical demand on our kids, but it's going to be something that mentally we have to be able to switch gears. We're going to, you know, try to do everything we can to stuff you and guard you, and then we're going to come down and we're going to move and swing the ball and relax. but then as soon as we shoot it, then don't relax again. You know, so it's a constant change, and that tempo that we play with is really challenging for a lot of players to play at early on. And I think that's probably a major challenge for freshmen, is the tempo we play at.
Jason Jeske and Aaron Horn have been on your staff for a while now, and you have a new coach this year, new assistant in Ariel Breaker, who brings a championship pedigree to coaching. You know, we had her on YoCast a few weeks ago. She has the Don Plitzelwide energy. I learned that very, very quickly. What does she bring to your coaching staff in this program?
Well, Ariel's an absolute rock star in every way, shape, or form. She has the ultimate respect of our players. She's bonded with them at a very high level. She knows the game. She understands it. She adds a post presence in terms of coaching our post players. And as a matter of fact, she asked me something the other day about exactly how we teach this or how we teach that in the post. And this is what her recommendation is. And I put a hand up and I was like, stop. You do what you need to do. You figured out you played at this level. You get it. I was a point guard. I can tell the post kids what to do, but ultimately you can go out and you can demonstrate. You got them. I trust you. You trust yourself. Go get it done. And she was like, okay, cool. I got it. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, she was known really as a lockdown defender in the Big East when she played. And as you mentioned, then the ACC or senior. And as you mentioned, she, you know, was someone who did it at a championship level. Participated in four Final Fours and three national championship games. So that's the most highest levels you can get.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's a good resume, certainly, to bring in. Coach, I know we talked about it earlier. Obviously, your season opener is on Tuesday against the University of Oklahoma. Plenty other home games. You've built a program that is nationally recognized and continues to be mentioned in top 25 polls. So outside of that, why should fans get their tickets and come watch this particular team this year? Come watch them play game in and game out.
Well, I think besides those things, and those things are pretty important. Yeah, that's kind of fun, watch basketball. But this team has a lot of spunk to them. That's a term that I would use, a lot of determination and a lot of spunk. Also, is there's a fun side to them, and they are entertaining, you know, to watch them, whether they're on the court, they're entertaining with how they play, but they're also entertaining on the bench. And then if you happen to watch the things that happen before games, you know, halftimes, timeouts, it never stops. You know, they're a group that is really a whole lot of fun. They bring a lot of joy to you. And so for those reasons, I think those are a lot of good reasons to come watch this group play.
No doubt. We're looking forward to it. Should be a fun season. Don, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciated, as always, and good luck this season.
Sounds good. Thank you, John.
That's Don Plitzel-White, the tremendous head women's basketball coach at the University of South Dakota. Appreciate her time and the conversation talking about her team. It's going to be a fun team to watch, and obviously they have a very challenging schedule, so set your expectations high, but know that it's going to be, could be, potentially, a bit of a roller coaster with some big wins and some unfortunate losses. When you have that kind of challenging schedule, it's just the way things sometimes go. But maybe they'll just go win them all, and then we'll be talking about a lot of fun victories. How about that? All right, let's talk about what is going on in Coyote Athletics. This podcast comes out on Thursday, and on Thursday, South Dakota will begin play in the Summit League Tournament for soccer. The Coyotes qualified as the 4 seed. They take on the top seed and host Denver Pioneers. It's an afternoon matchup in Denver, Colorado. If the Coyotes should win, they will advance to the championship game, which is set for Saturday afternoon. Thursday night, the men's basketball team will host Simpson College in an exhibition contest. Coyotes officially start their season next week, but an exhibition on Thursday at home. Volleyball's on the road. They're at Western Illinois in Macomb for a Thursday night matchup with the Leathernecks, hoping to continue their winning ways. Friday, swimming and diving is at the Coyote Extravaganza in Sioux Falls at the Midco Aquatic Center. That's an evening start time there. Coming up on Saturday, swimming and diving continues at the Midco Aquatic Center. Football, of course, is at Western Illinois in Macomb with a noon kickoff. Our pregame show on the Coyote Sports Network begins at 11 a.m. Volleyball is at St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's a 3 o'clock start time there. And, of course, if soccer should advance to the championship, that will be on Saturday as well. No events scheduled for Sunday or Monday. Let's look into next week. We talked about it with David Herbster, but Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Coyote women's basketball against Oklahoma. Both teams are receiving votes in the preseason top 25 poll. Then on Thursday next week, this is November 11th, Coyote men have a game against the Air Force Academy. There's lunch with the U. Volleyball will host Denver that night, and that gets our basketball seasons officially underway. And then looking just briefly into next Friday, November 12th, Coyote women's basketball against the number one team of the country in South Carolina. It's a 6 p.m. start time. That will be on the Coyote Sports Network and ESPN News as well. Cross country will be at the NCAA Midwest Regional as well. That's looking a little bit farther than we usually do, but that's just how we do it when things get crazy the way they are right now. So, a lot going on in Coyote athletics. Catch a game, match, meet, whatever it is, go to goyotes.com. All the information is there. Ticket information, buy those tickets. Come help the Yotes make a push. The Coyote volleyball team trying to make a push to one of the top two seeds in the Summit League Volleyball Tournament, which will be held in Vermilion Thanksgiving weekend. Coyote football team is trying to make a push to the playoffs, and they play South Dakota State. The final home game of the regular season is coming up on November 13th, and there are not a lot of tickets remaining. So if you haven't got your tickets for that football game, you better do it now As soon as you're done listening to this episode of Yotecast, go to goyotes.com/tickets, get your tickets, and also get tickets to men's and women's basketball. Help them get off to a great start for the season. All right, that's it for me. If you have an idea, thought you'd like to hear about on Yotecast, we'd love to hear from you. Just email us at yotecast@usd.edu. You can always submit Ask the AD questions as well. All right, I'm John Thayer. Have a great rest of your weekend. Have a great weekend. And until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.